talking to the team this morning, reiterated what I talked to him about yesterday after the game, is as you look at the tape, two totally different halves. And when you play a team like Minnesota, who's as talented as they are and who's as explosive as they are, there really isn't a margin for error. And we're trying to eliminate errors regardless of who we play, but those errors get heightened when you play a team that's explosive, as explosive as they are. And that was the case in the second half. We have two turnovers offensively. We have six penalties as a group. We don't maintain the leverage that you need to maintain on a returner like Percy Harvin. Don't consistently set the edge on Adrian Peterson, which I thought we did a good job of in the first half. And it makes it really hard. And the better the opponent, the harder it makes it. And I think we saw the positive things that we can do when we play complementary football, when we play smart football, and saw the results when you do it the other way. And the important thing about any Monday is how you approach it, because we can't now control what happened yesterday. But what you can control after a loss is what you take away from it. And there's a tendency after a loss to sometimes overanalyze, be overly critical, all those sorts of things, and that can be counterproductive. On the flip side, after a win, you can gloss over really glaring weaknesses or glaring things that have to be improved on, and that can be counterproductive. So the important thing for us as a group is to come in, to get the corrections, to embrace those things, and to really look at what individually each person can improve, what collectively we can improve, and there was plenty of areas to do that. There's things that I could have done better. Obviously, I didn't communicate effectively enough at halftime the importance of what we had to maintain, and there were times in the game where I thought we could have done some things differently in terms of stopping the run, which would have helped us, and I should have gotten that done quicker than I did. And also, you know, the decision on the goal line to run the play the second time, that was my decision. And at that point, thought it would work, thought it would be successful, and it wasn't. And those are all things that you can look at, or I can look at, and say, how would I do it differently moving forward? And that's the value. That's what I ask the coaches. That's what I ask the players. That's what I do throughout this process. And it'll be the same thing in a win. It'll be the same exact thing in a win, because otherwise you have no chance to get better the next week unless you really understand how you can get better the next week. So I'm looking for the guys to, or I looked for the guys today or expressed what my expectations were in terms of the corrections. And then between today and tomorrow, I expect them to get started on the Broncos and be ready to come in Wednesday to work on all the areas we've identified. So with that, I'll open up to questions.
Coach, what do you hope Brady Quinn takes away from the loss?
Well, there's a lot of things that I think as you get more experience, you're gonna do a better job with. And there were a lot of things that Brady did that I liked. I thought some of the check with me plays that we had gave us a real good opportunity in terms of the numbers we had at the point of attack. And that's not an easy team to run the football on. And at times yesterday, I thought we did that really effectively. And in terms of the passing game, I think that there were some throws that I really liked, and some and I'm sure he really liked, and some that I think we can continue to improve on. And it was a good example where he had a chance, something that was a really smart check coming out of the run, trying to get the slant, but the footwork was a little bit wider than it could have been, and that affected the throw a little bit, but it's correctable. And you know, that's one example of multiple examples, and not just with him but with the group. But those things are things that can look at, can see why it wasn't as effective as we wanted to, go out, work on it, and next time come back and do it better.
You think Brady was poised?
Yeah, I did. I think that anytime you're in a situation like he is, being a young player, and he really is, I know he's been in the league more than one season, but in terms of experience and starts, it's a young career. And as you grow and experience things and do all those things, that continues to get better. But for an open game, I thought he showed a lot of poise, and I thought there were times where he gives a chance on some plays that maybe we wouldn't have had a chance on. And he made some adjustments that showed not only a lot of poise, but a lot of awareness.
Eric, we were sitting here just 2 years ago after game one, and Romeo made the change from, of course, he made the in-game change in game one, but then the game two started was Anderson. I know not to transfer any of Romeo's thinking to you, but, you know, we saw that happen, and you know, you got to ask if it crosses your mind. Do you even think about changing quarterbacks after a first game, or is it important to give Quinn three or four starts, or what is important?
What I'm looking for is what I'm looking for from the group is to be able him to be able to identify those areas that need to be improved, and then going out working on it and seeing that improvement. And you have anytime you have younger players, there are going to be some things that you got to work through and keep improving. I think that same thing's true with Alex Mack. There were some really good things in the game and some things that we're going to get corrected, but he'll grow, and Brady will continue to grow. And the important thing is their growth will be really dictated by how well they continue to work. And I expect both those guys to work extremely hard at it.
For Quinn, is that game a real baptism under fire where it's, you know, you don't evaluate Quinn's first performance of the season against a defense like Minnesota's the same way you would against a normal defense?
No, I don't really look at it that way. I honestly don't. I look at it more as because we're going to face whatever defense each week, and it's going to be some things that we want to get done based on what they're doing defensively. Were we able to get those things done? If not, why not? If we were, you know, how can we build on it? And the next time we see a defense similar to that, so it's it wasn't an easy challenge by any stretch. They're a really good team, and they're a really good team in all three phases.
Eric, why did your run defense, like what happened second half of the run defense?
Well, with Adrian Peterson, the key thing is to be able to set an edge on him, not let him get to the perimeter of the defense. And when you say that, the edge can move. You can start in one spot, and even though you have an outside position on that offensive player, if you get extended as he extends, you may always have that outside leverage position, but it's not really an edge. You're trying to set a distinct boundary of you cannot run past this point, and then you need everybody to flow and make sure that each one of those spots to where he could cut back is handled. And with him, he's like water. If there's a crack, he finds it. And I thought for the most part in the first half, it was sound. And in the second half, there were times where they were able to get some of those edges. And even on the long run, that wasn't a true where he bounced it out, but there was enough extension between the outside player and the inside player where that edge had widened. Wasn't a huge crack, but he was able to hit it. And then once he gets into the secondary, you got to create a new edge and a new funnel with the corner, the backside safety, and the point. And we didn't do good enough on either level. And you know, he's that type of guy. One slight miscue, and it's 64 yards.
So when you said, I think in the introduction, you said that you didn't adjust quickly enough to him. You were talking about yourself. Is that what you were referring to?
What I'm saying is that I think there are things that I could have done better in terms of getting a more consistent fit on the front side. And that's always going to be my job, is to make sure that, you know, as these things come, and it was, you know, it was addressed and at different points it worked with different levels of success, and you're constantly going through the game saying, okay, well, how's this working? Okay, if this isn't working, go to plan B. If this isn't working, and you're constantly trying to adjust, and there were some things that I thought we did well in the second half in terms of adjustments and some things that we can improve. And it's important, you know, as I talk to the players, I explain the same thing, because it's never going to be a function of player versus coach or offense versus defense or special teams. It's all of us being able to objectively take a step back and say, all right, what can I get better at? And that's something I'm going to ask of them each week. It's something I'm going to ask the coaching staff each week. It's something I'm going to ask myself each week. And it's important that we do that.
On the play where Brady, the ball fluttered out, was he trying to do too much there? I just wondered what?
No, you know, I'm not sure if it was Steve. There was someone who kind of had come open, and I saw what he saw. I think he just tried to cock it and throw it, and you know, sometimes that happens, and you know, I'm sure, you know. He had a guy that had created a void, and we asked that of receivers, is as the quarterback gets on the move, we have certain scramble rules, okay, to provide windows for the quarterback to give him that run-pass option. And I see what he was looking at, and it could have just been one of those things where you bring it up a little too quickly and it skirts out.
Receivers Berrien and Rice were held to two catches the entire game, and I'm curious if that was something that you felt that the secondary did a particularly good job on, or was it more a product of Favre not going to those guys as much?
You know, I don't know, you know, exactly what their plan was going into the game. I think that in the second half they were they had some success early running the football, and oftentimes you stay with something if it's working well. And I did think, though, that the secondary did some really nice things in terms of their coverage. But some things in the secondary, just like with all of us, that can improve. And I thought the rush that we had was pretty good throughout the course of the day. And I know we talk in here a lot about who the pass rusher is. And this game is a good sort of indication of what I look for in terms of pressure on the quarterback. We had four different guys get sacks, and a lot of that is based off of what's the protection, how can we beat the protection, everybody being sound when you're executing those plays. And it doesn't matter who gets it, whether it's Brodney or Abe or Big Baby or Cam or whoever, we're all happy when he gets there.
You know, having Quinn have the ball down there right at the goal line?
Well, in the first one, we picked up, I think, 5 yards, and they'd kept the same personnel group in 4 or 5 yards. And lining up quickly, it was a timing-type play where you got to get it and hit it right in the spot. So it looked like that was going to get the same front, the same call that we'd gotten the play before. So I thought there was an opportunity to maximize that.
Some of the problems that Brady had, maybe not getting the ball to the receiver as much. Is that part of a product of breakdowns and protection?
There were some plays where they were able to get pressure, and there were some plays where the throw could have been better, and there's some plays where really the route could have been better. Now, that's a pretty formidable group in terms of pass rushers, with Jared Allen and Kevin Williams, Pat Williams, Ray Edwards. They brought a couple different blitz looks, and as we talked about in here, going in the first game, there's always going to be some things that get dialed up that aren't on the radar screen. And I thought Joe Thomas did a nice job throughout the course of the day. Drew a pretty tough assignment first rattle out of the box.
Nick, you mentioned that you said to call that Cribs play. With it being Brian's first game as coordinator, did you have more of a say yesterday than maybe in the past or will as the season goes along?
No, I didn't really treat Brian differently yesterday any differently than the relationship I have with all the coordinators. And it's not, we talked throughout the course of the week, go through the plan, right on down the line, and we talked about it prior to the play. You know, he was thinking about coming back to that. He was thinking about another play. So we were talking through it and went with that decision. So
when there's a play like, I don't know, 2nd and 18 or 3rd and 9 and you're in field goal range, do you say, you know, let's be conservative here, let's run the ball? I mean, is that the kind of conversation that goes on?
It depends. Some of that just depends because where are you in terms of Phil's range? What's the weather like? What's the score in the game? All those things factor in. What you always want to do is give yourself an opportunity to get the first down if you can, if it's something that's manageable, and if not, make sure that you secure the points.
When you chose Brady Quinn as a quarterback, do you, in some ways, I mean, does it factor in that, you know, that vertical game between, you know, the Derek and Brandon Hand? Do you have to give up a little bit there to gain so many other things that you get from Brady, or can they?
You know, I really thought that he made a nice throw. I thought Brandon made a nice catch on the one that ended up getting called back. Thought there was another pretty good throw down the sideline there late to Braylon that was close, and you know, the middle read that he had to Robert Royal for the touchdown. I thought that was a pretty good throw. I thought it was a pretty good route, kind of over the linebacker in between the safeties. Thought there were some other ones that we had a shot at. So I don't look at it as us being limited in any way by what we can call offensively by any stretch.
Through 11 passes to tight ends, I think like 8 to your starting receivers or 9 or something like that. Any thoughts on that kind of balance or what that says?
It sometimes based on the way that they're playing coverage, if they're rolled up over both the receivers, there's going to be more opportunity inside. And you do that same equation defensively all the time. If you're going to roll up over one guy, well, you know the other guy's probably going to get more coverage. If you're going to isolate the tight ends more in man-to-man coverage without much help, you anticipate those guys getting a few more balls. And what you're trying to do is mix it enough and disguise it enough so pre-snap, the quarterback doesn't know, okay, they're rolled up over here. Or pre-snap doesn't know that, hey, I've got a real opportunity with the tight end. And then you got to go back post-snap and see where is the coverage rolled, where are those opportunities. And ideally you go to the open guy or to the singled up guy or to the best matchup.
Eric, on the subject of halftime adjustments, is it easier for the offense to make adjustments than the defense since defense might have to react to the offense?
Well, it's different in the sense, Jeff, that, yeah, I'd say that you're right on there. Is you go in and you look at what's happened defensively. You look at what's happened and say, okay, well, if we get these situations again, these plays hurt us, this is how we want to handle it. And offensively, it could be a function of, okay, well, these plays have been very successful. These plays haven't, based on the coverage. We can still run that second set of plays if we want to, but we're going to adjust the routes. Maybe they're playing more of cover 4 versus cover 2. Well, if that's the case, you want to convert the route a different way, even though the core concept is the same. Some of it offensively may be you're getting a lot of a certain type of blitz. Okay, well, if they're going to bring this blitz again, let's audible to this, or you know, some of that stuff. So some of it offensively is reacting to, okay, this is what they've done. How are we going to handle that? Some of it is, okay, well, let's give them more of, you know, X, Y, and Z, more empty, more 22 big people, more. So defensively, you don't get to control what goes out there. You can only react to what they put out there.
So in the second half, how do you make adjustments on the fly defensively? How difficult is that?
Well, it's really a collaborative effort because you have to, the players have to come off and you have to talk to them and you have to look at the pictures. And what you never want to do is look at a picture, and I'm not saying this happened, but you never want to look at a picture, have a defense call, and you can't really see quite where the crease was. And you say to a guy, hey, were you in your gap? And he says, yep, I was in my gap. And you're thinking, God, how are they getting this done? But you need you want the feedback from the player. You want to understand where the weakness was. And then you turn the tape on Monday, and the guy wasn't in his gap. And you may have thrown out a perfectly good defense that could have been successful. So honesty is really important on the sideline because all the games are taped. We're going to figure out where you were, and it's not about assigning blame ever on the sideline. It's about, okay, where's the problem? How can we fix the problem? Is it a problem with the scheme, or is it a problem with how we execute the scheme? And you don't want to throw out a good scheme because you execute it poorly. You'd much rather say, okay, against this block, you got to play it this way or that way. Or
how disturbing the penalties and all that after working so hard on all of that in training camp?
Mary Kay, I think it's goes back to the first half. First half we had two penalties, and I thought we did a good job. And the second half we had six. And first half we didn't have any turnovers. Second half we had two. First half we did a better job with the core things we identified defensively. And the second half we didn't do quite as good a job with that. And like I said, when it's Adrian Peterson or someone like that, it doesn't take a lot of daylight to produce a big play. Say the same thing on special teams. Some really good things in terms of our leverage, the way we covered kicks and punts in the first half. It wasn't as good in the second half. I thought did a nice job in the return game. We had some of their core guys blocked up the way we designed it, and Josh was able to do what he does.
There are a couple of those false starts. It's either two or three came in the no huddle thing setup. Was there the problem there or something? I think Thomas had one. Davis had one. I want to say maybe one other one.
Yeah, really, with as much work on the no huddle as we do, I mean we've been working on that since day one, and those things are so inherently controllable. You're told the snap count before you go out. I mean, you're not reacting to anything. You're told what it is. Now you may come up and change it, which I understand. But we're also at home. It's not like the crowd noise was an issue. But there were things like that come down to finishing, focusing throughout the whole game. And believe me, that's one thing in many areas where we can improve.
At the end of the half, you were talking to Brady on your way off the field a long time. Did he handle the 2-minute drill like you wanted to as far as clock management and timeouts? It seemed like there were 40 seconds with the third and short, and then you guys chose not to run a play?
Yeah, it was you guys remember in the preseason, who we were playing, somebody turned the ball over late, ended up kicking a field goal. I forget who it was. You know, at that point, the score where it was not going great on first down really wasn't the risk-reward at that point. And I've seen a lot of situations where the Minnesota pass rush in that situation has forced a fumble. Minnesota gets quick points at the end of a half. It just wasn't based on where we were on the first play, based on where we were on the field, based on the fact that they had three timeouts, based on all those things. It just wasn't and we weren't looking to give him the ball back at that point.
Two more guys. Remember a point in your first day in the new job you got to enjoy with your family, or you thought, oh, something from 1994 came back to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing about having kids and young kids is I saw Jake after the game, and he said, who won? And I said, weren't you there? And, you know, it just puts it in perspective, and that's good. It's good that they can.
It's not your fault, obviously, that the previous part of the expansion era has happened the way it did. But, you know, those of us who have seen it all know that a lot of people left the stadium yesterday thinking same old Browns. So that's part of the context of the question. Now that you've seen a real game, what kind of team do you think you have?
Well, I know that I may sound repetitive here, but I really believe in the fact that it's this moment, right now, this team, how we work, how we do things, how we prepare, how we improve, that'll determine what the season is. And there's nothing you can do about what happened yesterday. There's nothing anybody in here can do about the things that took place yesterday. I mean, those are there. But what you can do is you can learn from those things, and you can improve the next time you have the opportunity to make those same decisions or you're faced with the same scenario. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen 10 weeks from now. None of us do. But I know, you know, after this meeting, I'm going up and I'm going to work on Denver. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to focus on that preparation. And, you know, after that, you know, whatever the next thing is. And I'm going to try to do the best job I can at that. Because, you know, like Dan O'Brien says, you know, it's a five-second rule. You can let things, you know, linger and affect your preparation for the next contest, or you can, you know, learn from it and move on.
Did you call Josh last night by chance, just because you guys are buddies?
No, I figured we'd be talking a lot about Josh this week, and, you know, sometimes that ball really bounces in a way that's just great. And, you know, I'm happy for him. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. He's a hardworking guy. He's a good person. And I'm happy that he was able to, you know, get the win that he did. And I haven't seen the game yet. I don't know exactly how it unfolded. I just saw that one clip that I'm sure we all saw. And, you know, sometimes it just bounces the right way.